The cursed film theory surrounding the 1976 film The Omen suggests that a series of eerie and tragic incidences plagued the production and events surrounding the movie. These occurrences have led to speculation that the film is cursed, with some attributing the events to supernatural forces or divine retribution. Despite skepticism from some quarters, the cursed film theory continues to captivate the imagination of fans and fuel discussions about the intersection of superstition, cinema, and the supernatural. Whether one believes in the curse or dismisses it as mere coincidence, the eerie incidences associated with the film have left a mark on its legacy in horror history.
Welcome back to another episode of So You Like Horror. And if you've been following along with the rest of the class, we've been talking about cursed films, spooky shit that's been happening on set, or sometimes just poor management behind the scenes as well, as you heard with the Twilight Zone episode. But this time around, we're going to talk about a film that I actually think might genuinely be cursed. Just from the shit I was going over, I was like, it might be something to it. Maybe, maybe not, maybe coincidence. But before I get into that, just for y'all that don't know, the ideal of a cursed film, as I have my little notes here, the cursed film theory is just basically, again, the suggestion that some movies are plagued by problems, misfortune, if you will, that may be supernatural, you know, and that could take place during production, after the movie's been released, you know, goofy shit like that. Sometimes they might say things like, you know, oh, all these people died, you know, after the movie's been released, you know, for several years. And it's like, and these motherfuckers, oh, I don't think that's cursed. I just think people get old. But in the case of this film, some shit was going down where we're just like, huh, maybe. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about The Omen, which is one of my favorite films, one of my favorite series, period. And for this episode, I'm going to be joined by one of our regulars here, Mr. Manuel. What's up, Manny Fresh? How you feeling, my friend?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to have done my homework for something that I had never really looked into. I was never really a cursed film follower. But digging into this, I realized there's like a whole like rabbit hole full of people who really follow cursed films, and there's like a bunch of them.
Yeah, when I first even get caught wind of the idea of a cursed film, I mean, growing up, you know, you hear about Poltergeist. The Poltergeist curse was the big one we all heard growing up. Right. That was the most mainstream one. Then Shudder actually released a series called Cursed Films, and that's where it really became a thing for me, because I didn't realize, you know, as I started watching that series, there were so many films that were considered cursed films, which is part of what gave me the idea to even do this theme for 2024. Because, you know, low hanging fruit, you know, well, easy research.
I'm naturally a skeptic to this kind of stuff. So I walked into this, and I did listen to the other episodes, and 100% when I was listening to your Twilight Zone episode, I was like, I was not on board. I'm like, how do you call that? How do you call that a curse? And how is that not just coincidence? And even at worst, it's more like human error. Like things like that kept coming into my head, and I kept thinking like, oh, like I wanted to fight it, right? Like, but in doing the research for this film, I'm still a skeptic, but there are plenty of moments where I'm like, okay, well, see, there might be something here, and maybe there's something there, and we'll get into it. We'll break down like what we feel was truly a vibe of a curse, and more like maybe even the opposite. Maybe it was like the opposite of a curse. It was like incredible luck.
Yeah, probably, you know, one or the other. I'm like you, I'm a skeptic. I'm not one that, you know, I'm not a believer of many things, period. you know, like, and anyone that knows me, they know I'm into, you know, parallel worlds and time travel and all this shit. I find that shit fascinating. That doesn't necessarily mean that I think it's, you know, genuinely a real thing. It could be, we don't know, you know, until we find out otherwise. And when it comes to this theme of cursed films, it's the same thing, you know, like in Poltergeist is something we're going to be talking about later in the year. But, you know, every time I hear about the Poltergeist curse, I'm like, all that shit, that doesn't sound like a curse. That just sounds like coincidence. You know, right. You know, there are two specific things that happen with that, that it's like, I don't think it's a curse. I just think it's poor luck. You know, it's just bad luck. And then the other cases, it's just, no, that's timing. That's, you know, older folks dying, because that's what we do when we get older. We will right. pass away. Now, when I started looking at stuff for this, for The Omen, it was like, ooh, you know, but, you know, the ideal of something being cursed is like, well, there are a lot of near misses.
True. And I think that for me, that was more to the lucky side of it. But I know that if we're going to talk about the curse of The Omen, we really briefly have to be like, why wasn't it the curse of the, you know, Citizen Kane? Why wasn't it the curse of, like, you know, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Like, the fact that it's a horror movie opens the door to the idea that it could be a cursed film in the first place, because you're dealing with something very, like, macabre. You're saying not only is this a scary film, but it's like one rooted on a very possible reality for a big section of the people. A lot of people don't just believe this, but they prophesize that this specific thing is going to happen. And I think that's what opens the door for the more vibe of it being a curse. I think when you start thinking like, hey, there's a group of people who genuinely believe that there is going to be an Antichrist. He's going to be born. He's going to be in this world. And you guys are literally making a movie about that. Like, that's taboo. You guys are opening doors you don't want to open. So already, just with that mentality, before anything bad even happens, you've already kind of set yourself up for anything that happens is going to be something I can cement saying, hey, see, I told you. Example, I think his name is Gary Pitt, I think it was. Yes. Right? He got his plane got struck by lightning, right? Okay. Well, he didn't crash. I'd say he was lucky. Hmm. You know? And then I guess like a week later, this guy named David Seltzer or something like that. He was also like another
writer.
The writer, right? His plane got struck by lightning. Okay, there's some coincidence there. But again, he survived. So me being the skeptic, I'm like, well, as it turns out, like if I look into that, like planes get hit like once or twice a year. It's like super common. Right?
Now it's your turn.
The coincidence of it being two of the people on it, like, okay, that's pretty high now. I within a short amount of time, okay, that's pretty high now. That's where it kind of like makes you think maybe this is a curse. But the fact that they lived, I got to say that felt luckier than more cursed.
Maybe it's a blessing.
Maybe it's a blessing.
Like that's, you know, to the point that you're making, though, as well, that with this being a horror movie and with the content that it goes over being the Antichrist, you know, of course, it's easy to jump into the ideology of, you know, this being a curse. Like you said, why not, you know, the curse of anything else that isn't a horror film? You know, why don't we hear, well, there is one that we may address later in the year that wasn't a horror film. It was a comedy. And it's like, I don't know, man, that shit seems a little too eerie. Although, you know, there are details. We'll get into that probably in August for that one.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, again, like you said, the ideal of, you know, this has a lot of religious, satanic happenings going on. So it is already a door that's opened to this ideal. So, you know, you got people already, you know, kind of saying, you know, bad things are going to happen to you. You've got other people, you know, just saying, well, we're going to do this anyway. You know, curse be damned. You know, we're going to make this happen. So, and what's up?
So I grew up Catholic. So growing up Catholic and Christian, but growing up Catholic specifically, my foster mom at the time was adamant about not inviting negative things into your life. It was like part of like the like unwritten code, like, and you don't, oh, you're listening to that music, you're gonna invite the devil. You're inviting the devil. And like, so horror movies are like inviting the devil already. So being a part of like the production, the creation of a movie about the Antichrist, I think you had a lot of people Fox Mulder-ing it. Like, I want to believe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so like they were sold before the first curse happened.
Well, and that's, again, just the thing, you know, you have the skeptics that no matter what you show, no matter what you tell them, they're like, no. And the thing is, too, when there's, you know, science that can kind of back it, it's like, okay, you know, and coincidence, you know, there's always the margin, you know, of coincidence as well. So you can never discount that being a factor. Now, like you said, with the plane being struck by lightning, two planes being struck by lightning close together like that with people from that same movie, pretty fucking coincidental. Just,
yeah, it's coincidental.
Fucking odd. It's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would start off saying like, okay, so this movie is cursed because both those guys died. Like, whoa, okay, you know, like, had the same thing happened, but both of them died, I think the start of this would be completely different. And I'm gonna be fair, I'm not like supernaturally atheist. I'm like supernaturally agnostic. You know, like I'm not saying I don't believe. I'm just saying I got to see some good proof. I got to see it for me, kind of type thing. You know, like. I don't feel like I'm one of those people that no matter what you show me, I'm going to be like, no, that's bullshit. That's a lie. You know, like, believable is believable. And
yeah, agree.
It's one of those things where, like, right now, based on the, you know, the two things we first mentioned, like, I think that's kind of like the start of like, maybe they're lucky and not cursed. But then there's this other guy. What was his name? John Richardson. John Richardson. Yeah, he was like the special effects guy, I think, or something like that. He was after this, he did like A Bridge Too Far. And I think it was like during the filming of that or something, like he got into a car accident and like his like fiance was like, she died and she was like decapitated. And she was decapitated in the same way as the dude was in the film. And I'm just saying, like, okay, like, that's some weird synchronicity. Or that might be like the curse got him. Like, that's the one for me that feels the most like a curse. Oh, you made this movie. Now someone you know is gonna die the way you depicted a death in this movie.
So real quick, let me catch everybody up to, you know, what we're even, you know, talk about. So again, as I said, you know, we're talking about The Omen, 1976 film directed by Richard Donner. You know, for those of you who may not be, you know, familiar with him outside of Superman 2, stuff like that. Yeah, he did The Omen. So this guy, he does films that I like. Superman, The Antichrist, I'm down with this guy. So but basically, The Omen is about a family who they lose their child during childbirth. The father decides we're going to replace the child without letting the mom know. And they replace him with a child that would ultimately be groomed to become the Antichrist, or is the Antichrist.
But don't forget, the person who suggested it was a priest.
Oh, yep. Oh, yeah, that. Oh my God, yeah. There's so many more insidious things to that too. Yeah. Especially as you get deeper into the movie, and you know, information being withheld, and then you know, people being sent to watch over them. It's just all this funky shit. But yeah. So basically, that's The Omen. And what we're talking about with the curse here, you know, basically, you know, there's this belief that because they were doing this film based on the Antichrist, the film was immediately, just off of that alone, it comes out as cursed. And this has apparently been a theory in Hollywood, you know, since the beginning of it. Like I said, the only cursed film I ever really heard about was Poltergeist. So The Omen, you know, digging into this, seeing all this shit, it's like, oh my God. Like, yeah, everybody knew, historians, you know, film historians, you know, they were balls deep into this. Paranormal enthusiasts, you know, they ate this shit up like it was fucking Wheaties on a fucking Saturday morning before fucking track. You know, they were all in on it. You know, supernatural shit going on, like we're talking about with the airplanes both being struck by lightning, you know, weird occurrences like that. You know, there's a psychological influence as well, just because, you know, as you start thinking about it, like you say, you welcome that shit in. You know, you gotta wonder how much does that play into it as you start kind of doing things, leaning yourself into it. So you know, as Manuel and I are gonna, you know, kind of continue to talk here, we just kind of want to, you know, get you into it. And you know, we'll go over some of the other specific cases. You know, again, Richard Donner, you know, being on a plane as well and having been struck by lightning. Seltzer, you know, the writer, you know, having an issue as well. The animal trainer, you know, that shit. You know, it's just, there's so much shit that happened. And I think that's a big part of it too, is the quantity of it is what makes it eerie.
At some point, like, the skeptic in me has to be like, maybe it could chalk half of this up to luck. Maybe it could say, maybe it was actually lucky for them. But the fact that there's so many recorded incidents in general makes me think, like, that's when at the end of it all, I do feel that there could have been a quote-unquote curse for this film, because it's a whole lot of circumstance, and enough circumstance starts to look like a real thing to me.
Like, I have, you know, some of the examples here, like Gregory Peck, who played the father. His son, John, committed suicide just months before the film film began shooting. And, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know. You know, you hear that, it's like, not so, you know, and you know, not making light of that tragedy, but it's like, nah, you know, not buying it there.
Yeah, but I think if it's on your radar that these people are making this movie about the devil and the Antichrist specifically coming back to Earth and all that, and then you add a tragedy that, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the movie, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, my dad's filming this movie, that's it, that's going to make me go this direction, you know? It was like, the mental health is so important, and to blame it on the fact that your dad's making this one specific movie, I think it's too easy. It's a cop out, you know. But I think to the right ear, to the right listener, that's like the spark. It's like a match. It's like, oh yeah, look at that. That kid, yep, you know, committed suicide because his dad's making this damn devil movie.
Now, on the opposite end of that, for Gregory Peck, he had another incident where the plane that he was on going to London, it almost crashed. Or let's see. Yeah, it did crash. It did crash. He was supposed to be on it, and then it did crash. So basically, you know, and that's where, again, it's like,
lucky?
Yeah, it's like, I think he was cursed there. I think he was blessed. He was lucky, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, that was in a year before the film came out, you know? So it's like, you know, again, skeptical here. It's like, you're not selling me. You're not selling me yet.
Have you ever heard of, like, that the number 13? Right, there was actually a kind of like a movie with Jim Carrey about the number 13.
Yeah, the number 23.
Oh, 23. I'm sorry, 23. That's what it was. Sorry, but like, people can make that appear however they want. Like, when it's on your radar, and it's something you're always thinking about, you can make, you can create situations where that number is going to show up for you. I think that's what it is like for, I guess, like supernatural stuff, or, you know, in this case, like satanic or evil stuff, curses.
Yep. I mean, it's like, I guess, Murphy's Law, you know. If it can go wrong, if you believe it can go wrong, it will go wrong, you know, that type of deal. You know, but it's just, again, when you look at that, it's like, I don't know, dude. I think we're, you know, for that instance, at least with Gregory Peck, it's like, you know what? No. We're not buying into that one. Now, as we did already mention, the two airplanes being struck, you know, again, now we have three situations with an airplane in all of this. So it's, you like, okay.
Like, if the omen took place where, like, the mom died in an airplane crash, I mean, and she was struck by lightning, I would be like, holy crap, you know? You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, holy crap, they're, like, they're trying to warn you. That's the curse trying to warn you, you know? But
yeah,
I don't remember an airplane scene.
Yeah, well, yeah, if that was, you know, in the script and they're like, you know what, let's just take those scenes out. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe, because, you know, heaven forbid we use a plane scene here. You know, because they're trying to warn us.
How legend would that have been, though, if they're like, you know what, with all these airplanes, we're gonna do an airplane scene. Just add it in there. Someone died at the airplane.
Like, that's ballsy.
I'm just saying that would have been legend.
That would have been basically staring down the barrel of the gun, saying, "You know what? Try me."
Testing fate.
And you know, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're just fucking around. I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
I kid. At the time of filming, London was under a rash of explosions from the IRA. So it was something that became part of it, because even though that was super common, I guess it wasn't common or uncommon, you know, for there to be some sort of issue. But the two incidents that took place that involved the film is basically two associates of the film. The producer, Neufeld, he was probably, again, having two matters, you know, first with the airplane and now the explosions out here in London affected him. But
I feel like if you had already had a near miss, and then you go somewhere on location in London and you're just like, there's a bombing and that's a near miss as well, I do feel like you could kind of feel like, hey, they're out to get me. Like, something's out to get me now. So, yeah. And again, and that's why, like, I feel like, because I gotta be fair. I gotta play at the flip side, all right? So I'm the skeptic, but if I'm playing the other side of this, I'm thinking, what if you are cursed and it's really just like the other side? Maybe it's like the angels or God that's keeping you alive, protecting you from this. And the devil tried to take you by, you know, lightning bolting your plane. Devil tried to get somebody else by, you know, making sure his plane would crash, but he just happened to get out of it right before it. Another guy, lightning bolt hits his thing, you know? Another one, you know, you're about to eat somewhere and all of a sudden you don't, because, you know, whatever, it's too far or whatever, and you end up going to one other restaurant, and then one of the restaurants right next to it blows up. So I think in that moment, I think you do feel cursed, because you feel like something's coming at you, and it's only maybe your faith or maybe luck that's keeping you alive. Where normally you'd be like, man, if I wasn't lucky or if I didn't have this faith, any one of those things would have killed me.
Yeah. Like for Neufeld, you know, the issue that he ran into here was, you know, as you mentioned, in the restaurant, basically he was supposed to go sit down to eat. There weren't seats available for him. Okay, cool. I'll go elsewhere. Boom.
Like, yeah, man. So I think that's where I'm kind of feeling with this is like, I do feel like definitely like a lot of these things I could chalk up to actually good luck. But if you look at the casts and the producers and the writers as a whole, like as one thing, and then you say all these things kept happening to them, and yes, they survived, but it's really weird that all these things kept happening to them. That's where I do side with. Maybe there was a curse, right? Because, man, that's a lot of things that, I mean, it didn't get them. They lived, except for that animal trainer guy. He died.
So, yeah. I mean,
apparently he got mauled by a tiger shortly after like the filming.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, you train
tigers. I mean, it's like he was due. Like, you know, not, I don't know.
Go ahead.
Exactly. It's like, oh, he got mauled by a tiger. You know, I'm sure everybody was like, oh my God, that's tragic. But, you know, no one off the surface was thinking, oh, well, the fucking curse of the omen. No, they're like, oh my God, that's a tragedy. And then, you know, down the line, as
got mauled by a tiger, you'd be like, wow, it was random. How'd that happen? But yeah, we're in a situation, it's like where the sword swallower gets stabbed. You're like, well, I mean, you're swallowing swords. You know, yeah, like,
what do you expect?
You're messing with tigers and wild animals. That's your job. It's an inherently dangerous job. Pretty sure like a lot of people never have problems, but I'm pretty sure it's also the other side of it. Like every year there must be a couple attacks and some of them are fatal. So,
yeah. And they're not all considered, you know, part of a curse. So, also, you know, connecting to the bombs in London, Richard Donner was supposed to stay at a hotel that also got bombed. So
again,
dodging bullets. Say,
well, dude, IRA, they were bombing shit. That's what they were doing back then. It was, you know, they were having issues and they were trying to make their point, right? War is terrible, right? But at the same time, the same people, like at what point do you feel like they're after you? And if you feel like someone's after you, you might just say, I feel cursed. So I think there has to be something to be said about, like, even though we could look at this and be like, yeah, the zookeeper or the zoo handler, rather, like, he died. And yes, that other guy lost his wife and the other guy lost his son. And those are tragedies, right? By themselves, I think you can kind of, like, shake him off, like, that was this situation or that was actually a lucky situation that he didn't die in a plane. But if you look at all of them together, it starts to feel, I think, if you were in that crew, like, would have nothing happened to you yet? Would you start thinking, like, oh, damn, like, the zookeeper died, and, like, that guy lost his fiance, and their airplanes were struck by lightning? Like, I might not, I'm gonna lay low.
Well, I think also, too, the people that are closely involved, and, you know, I don't know because, you know, this is only a small time podcast, so I don't have the funds to go out and interview folks, you know, to get quotes and shit. But I would imagine that folks that are close to the situation, especially if you've lost someone, you know, such as, you know, an animal trainer, you know, you speak to his family or something. And I doubt there's, you know, hanging on to the ideal of a curse as much as it's like, look, man, you know, we lost, you know, our dad or we lost our brother or our husband or our son or whatever, you know, because I do think there is a small bit of disrespect blaming things on a curse as well. You know, when it's like, again, as you say, he's an animal trainer. They're a risk.
It's
and yeah, you know, so to say, oh, it's you know, there's a curse from a film that he worked on and he got mauled by one of the tigers or lions or one of the, you know, giant cats, you know, to some degree as a relative, I'd feel like you're making light of the situation and you're, you know, and granted, you're probably not walking up to them like smiling and laughing about it. No, but there's this ideal of like, well, you know, can you just take it serious to the ideal that, you know, this was his job and it was a dangerous job.
I do feel like there is a chance, and I mean, don't quote me on this, but there's a chance that maybe they did feel it was a curse just because of the reasoning behind his death. I remember hearing that it was actually like a gate with normally closed, but it was left open So like, are you gonna wanna blame like human error, or are you gonna kind of take the cheap route and be like, maybe it was the curse, or be like, oh yeah, he did this to himself, he left the gate open. So in a situation like that, I do feel like people do gravitate to the supernatural instead of blaming the person.
Perhaps. I don't know. I
not me.
Yeah, I'm more of a, if some shit goes down, you know, I try to connect the dots. And if something funky out of the ordinary happened, it's just something out of ordinary to happen. I mean, you know, I used to drive around in a Honda Civic hatchback with no brakes. You know, I was dumb as a kid.
The curse of no brakes.
Yeah. You know, I made poor choices when I was 19. But, you know, the thing is, if, you know, I were to get into a car wreck and you know, killed somebody, and let's say they were, let's say, because they did do a remake in 2006. Let's say, you know, they're in the middle of filming this and, you know, my brakeless car crashes into somebody and kills them, you know, while making the remake of this movie. You know, I don't think it's a curse. No, Dante's just stupid. He makes poor choices. You know, that's not curse. You know, people are dumb. Like when a Jehovah's Witness knocked on my door and was telling me, you know, the devil is the cause of all the problems in the world. I was like, well, my car got towed last week. That's not the devil. I just didn't pay my note.
Like, the devil made you waste your money on something other than your car note.
Nah, doggy, I was paying my rent.
The devil wants you to live in one house because it's easier to track you.
I mean, you know, they can spend
it. When you're on the move, it's harder for the devil to catch you, you know?
I guess. I mean, we still had another car. Like, he wasn't going to stop us. But you know, it's like, you know, folks will look for any reason to make something into, you know, a bigger thing when it probably isn't. And again, that's where the skeptic comes in, because it's like you start looking at these things, like we're saying, maybe these folks weren't cursed. Maybe there's a curse, and maybe they were, you know, equally blessed.
Right. But I think that's where, like, the culture of a certain, like, I guess, generation kind of comes in. Because we can't look at it with the eyes of 2024, because for one, there was no internet back then. So you saw these things come out on a newspaper, and then, like, I mean, just in my generation, you couldn't convince me that Paul from the Wonder Years was not Marilyn Manson. Like, and that happened without the internet. Like, it was, someone said something somewhere, and like a wildfire, people believe this. So the culture of what's going on when it is also matters, and it shapes us. So I think that, you know, it was a hot topic back when that movie was released. Satan was a big thing. Manson murders, you know, like this was a hot topic. Like, it was already something. Satanism was kind of like, it's almost like it was a fad. So when you have Satanism and like that macabre of the devil coming as a fad, and then you get this opportunity where you see this movie, which is like, honestly, it's a dope ass movie, and it's creepy. And what it's talking about for me hits home, because I grew up on Revelations. I grew up on like the Bible. So it was like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this could happen. This is how it's going to be. You know, like, so there's always that vibe, kind of like the Stand, you know, like, it hit harder for me because I was religious, right? So when the culture itself is already kind of obsessed with like Satanism and this end of the world, end of times type thing, they're going to believe what comes at them, because they, again, the Mulder effect, they want to believe. You're fueling a fire that's already there.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, you think about, like you mentioned, 2024, having the internet. Like, imagine back then, you know, we got the internet in 1975, and this film's being made, and it drops. And, you know, there's just even the tiniest stink of a curse. The internet, because, I mean, we see it every day now with conspiracy theories. Anything happens. I mean, I think, you know, they're trying to, you know, OJ just died. They're trying to say, oh, you know, OJ got the COVID vaccine. OJ was 76 years old. like black men don't make it that long. And he's a former football player. So, you know, he had a good run. He allegedly, killed two people.
He legally was not.
That's just the thing. It's like people, are quick to create, controversy and conspiracies. So, if people got a hold of this, internet wise, if the internet was back then, oh my Lord, it would be a shit show. Like every single day fucking Kevin Smith, when he made Dogma, back in the 90s, they had protesters, all around.
I saw something where he went to one of those protests, yeah, and they interviewed him and he spoke out against his own movie and no one knew who he was. I love that.
Like, well, I think one of the people did ask, like, wait, are you him? He's like, no, I'm not him. And he points to his head, like, no, he's him.
I love that.
But that's just the thing. It's like, I think the controversy and that, the people speaking out, it was kind of on that scale of like it was the church because they caught wind of it. Right. But I don't think like the media, I don't think the world caught wind of it. So it wasn't a big, big deal. So it's like when you start seeing these weird things happen, the weird things are happening still. And it's not this push like today. Again, if anything funky happens, immediately we start connecting dots. I mean, the fucking key bridge getting knocked over, immediately people are like trying to link it to fucking Israel, and it's like, well, Jesus, like things just happen sometimes. So as we kind of look at this, it's like, again, things just happen. It's just that, again, with this, a lot of things happen to a lot of people connected to one thing. And right, that's where it gets, that's where I go from skeptic to maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm not saying that I'm totally sold on it now. Like, I don't fully believe, like, oh yeah, like, you've proven it to me. I think what you've proven is that I can totally believe if I was part of the Omen and I heard about these things happening, I could totally believe that I'd be a little bit nervous. Like, I would be like, shit, I don't want something to happen to me now. Like, maybe I'm not as lucky as them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I will say this. Watching the movie gives a different spin, knowing all the shit now. Because, like, as I watch the movie, and I've always loved the movie. I don't know why. Kids are creepy. You got a kid who's doing creepy shit, and he's not intentionally doing creepy shit. It's the people around him protecting him to raise him to be creepy, like to be, what he's going to be is what's creepy. In The Omen 2 is where he gets, once he starts to discover his power, it's like, oh, this teenager's a fucking creeper. And that's the thing too, the curse seems to only be, designated to the first film. I didn't really hear a bunch of shit about, the second, third, and the not mentioned too often fourth, and the,
I thought there was three.
So there's the original three, where Damien's, the first one, obviously, and then the second one is a teenager, and then the third one, he is a grown man, he's an adult. And then the fourth
the fourth one, he's old, he's like upset about the middle class, he's paying taxes. appropriate because it is the 15th of April.
He's calling everything woke.
ironically, not like the right way, the way it used to be. I saw one today. Okay, this is a sidebar. I saw one today where they're like, oh, I don't like this new word that people are using called grind. Back in the day, it was like, I don't see nothing wrong. And that's what grinding was. When that song came on, you were grinding. Now it's like, I have to work this hard to just pay rent. Like, they stole that word and made it terrible.
But it's always funny when something gets stolen and co-opted. It's like, it's funny how y'all use that.
Yeah.
Weird. But no, in the fourth one, it's actually his offspring. It's a little girl. And I enjoyed the fourth one. I think it was a made-for-TV movie. So
you were already abandoned. You were like, you had bought in by so long.
Well, I actually didn't even know there was a fourth one until, I want to say mid-2000s. I was like, oh, shit. When my wife got me the four-pack, it was like, there's four?
There's four?
And then I watched, I was like, oh, shit. And it was fine. I enjoyed it. Like, does it hold up with the rest of them? I don't think so. But it's still a fun piece to add on there if you wanted some continuation. And then the remake. I've actually only watched like half of the remake.
I heard it was terrible.
The fucking kid's haircut is terrible. That's what fucking took me out of it. Fucking bowl cut, dude. It's 2006, dog. Like, why are you still rocking the bowl cut?
You know, I think that there was like an unspoken Omen remake called The Good Son, and I think that's what should have just, they could have left it at that.
Yeah, I mean, The Good Son was fucking fantastic.
He was evil.
Fuck you. This is a fucking horrible little human. Yeah. He tried to kill fucking Frodo. He knows he's got to get the ring back to the mountain. Fucking that's cunt. True. But yeah. All in all, you know, when you look at the bigger picture of this, it's like, again, a bunch of shit happened to a bunch of people from one project. And that's where it gets real eerie. Because like I said, there are four movies in this series, and I didn't hear shit about any of those others having any production issues, any release issues. And, you know, maybe I just didn't dig deep enough. You know, I don't know. But, you know, it's like it all hovered around this group of people during these weird circumstances. Again, bombings in London, you know, planes getting struck by lightning. Yeah. Animal trainers getting attacked. The Rottweilers attacking another one of the
trainers.
You know, so
vicious ass dog. What do you?
Yeah,
you ask him to attack you, then you get mad that he attacked too hard.
Yeah, I mean, like these things. You know, a lot of it's these like, things all fall into coincidence.
Deep sea diver drowns. You know, fire spitter gets burned. Like, what do we want here? Like, what makes it more or less believable realistically? Like,
you know, you don't hear anyone saying that, you know, the sub that went down to see the Titanic was cursed. No, just, you know, poor manufacturing, poor choices. It's not a curse. It's just rich people with a bunch of money. They know what the fuck to do with it. So they decide they wanted to go down and see the Titanic.
Human error. Human choices, not even error. Like the error was known.
Yeah, I mean, they you know made poor choices. In that case, you know, again, choices. Now in this case, weird shit was happening, but it's weird shit happening in a realm of things that it could have happened anyway, whether you're making that film or not. So,
yeah, and you know, I think that's the thing. Like people, okay, third time's the charm. People who watch movies like this or watch or hear of curses like this or like even shows like paranormal, like whatever, like paranormal psychic or paranormal activities or whatever, where they go into a haunted house. They go in there knowing they're going to hear something. They go in there knowing that something supernatural is going to happen. They may say, well, let's see if anything happens. But the production and everything is telling you they're going in there for something. Like, so I think a lot of times we want to believe, like we really want to believe it. We like, if I'm hearing these things and then I know it's a freaky movie, I kind of want to believe it because you know what, at the end of the day, it's a little bit fun. It's a little bit fun. And it adds to the supernatural, like vibe of the film itself. And it makes for a better experience when you know there's something there.
No, I definitely agree. It, like I said, watching the movie since doing all this, it's changed how I watch it, you know, knowing this extra stuff behind the scenes. So there is kind of a, I don't want to say a fun factor, but there's definitely something to it. It's like, it just adds this charm now.
I think that at some point you kind of have to consider like, do I really want to fight the fact that this is a curse? or does it kind of help me enjoy it? Like, am I enjoying the movie more the second time I watch it, third time I watch it? Because, I mean, for me, horror movies are like, if it's a good horror movie, it's not a one-time thing. You know, like, even with action movies, they're very similar for me. A good action movie and a good horror movie has like a replay value. Like, I want to rewatch it. And if I'm rewatching something I like already, and now I know, like, oh, dude, that's the dog. That's the evil dog. You know, like, oh, that's the dude who was struck by lightning. I think, is it worth debunking the curse? Or is it like, or do you kind of want to embrace the curse? Or do you kind of want to be like, yeah, it's real. And you know what? This movie's dope. You know, like, does it help you or hurt you when it comes to enjoying, like, the experience of the movie?
Well, yeah, you know, it's like bonus content, you know. It was the bonus content before DVDs, you know. If you're watching on VHS back in the day, and you're so example, use Enter the Dragon, you know, as an example. You know, people watching Enter the Dragon, you know, back in the day, and you know, you hear about, you know, Bruce Lee dying, and you know, then you know, there's the curse, supposedly, you know, that killed him. So, you know, now there's this, you know, or watching The Crow, and we'll be doing The Crow episode pretty soon. But watching The Crow, and I remember watching The Crow, and you know, while watching it, you know, Brandon Lee was shot during the filming. So as you're watching, now you're looking for scenes because there's a lot of shooting. You're like, was that the scene? Was that scene? It was not any of those scenes, but you know,
and again,
that bonus.
And again, with no internet, we were like, me as a child, as a kid, I was convinced he got shot during the scene where he's on the table and everyone's shooting at him. That was the mythology, you know, that was the folklore behind it. Like, that's the scene. Wait till you see that scene. One of those thousand bullets was the one that got him. And it's like, obviously, no internet now, you can tell. No, actually, it was very mundane scene.
Like, you know, it's just, you know, the add-on of it all. When you look at something like this, you think, oh, well, you know, what value does it have to keep this rolling? What value does this have to keep discussing it and keep thinking, like, oh, maybe this curse is a thing? You know, what value, you know, the value that it could have, you know, is like I said, like the bonus content, the bonus feel as you're watching it. You're like, oh, you know, they're the Rottweilers, that, you know, the hounds of hell that, you know, that they're using in a film, and, you know, attack the trainer. Or there's, you know, there's, you know, Gregory Peck, you know, look at him, you know, shooting a scene. He looks, you know, disheveled in this scene. Could this have been after, you know, some weird incident, you know, and now he's got to fucking read his lines, you know, distressed. So there's always this lore now as you're watching stuff. You're like, I wonder. And then, you know, as we, you know, look at the other films, it's like, there's nothing to it. It's just like, oh, there's no curse. There's just other films.
But again, you got to remember, like, the fact that there was something to talk about is the reason why. Well, first of all, that's why we're here. Because if nothing happened, then like, why we wouldn't even be talking. Like, so things happened, more things than you could say just like the normal day action movie or other horror movie. Like those don't have it. There is a list of movies that have this. So for me, and I like that you said the bonus features, because I was, dude, that was my kryptonite, man. Like, if I saw, like, I could buy this DVD for $20, but it was like $42 for this one that was like three discs, special edition. I was like, oh, you got me. I'm going to get it. I got to get it. I want to know everything I can about this. You know, yeah, and
I was that guy.
Yeah, dude. And so this was that before that. Like you said, you nailed it. This was that before that. This was like the extra content that people were really like fascinated by. hearing something on the news or reading an article about something that happened to someone on this thing, this was what led you and kind of like excited you about it. So you were even more ready to watch it again, or more ready to like to see it for the first time. Like, oh, that one movie? Oh, yeah, that's a scary movie, but I don't want to watch it. What'd you hear? Like, it's cursed. What do you mean? Yeah. And now, I mean, you know, like, sucker, gotcha. Okay.
I mean, that's, you know, back then, that's how you get people with the lore. I mean, nowadays, because of the internet, you know, the charm is taken away because people can just do a quick Google search, you know.
Is it but though? I mean, then, like, people fight that all the time. Like, no, what you see on the internet is fake news. This is the real thing. So
that this goes back to my conspiracy theorist thing, though, because those folks are always like, well, no, you got to listen to, you know what, you know, insert crazy YouTube name, because he gets all the facts. You know, the guy who's in his mom's basement. Okay. Sure.
All right.
Sure. Now, if you told me don't believe any media, I'd lean a little bit more there, maybe. But if you say don't listen to legacy media, but listen to that guy in the basement, then I'm like, okay, maybe not. Or if you're like, listen to Matt Taibbi, okay, that's a reporter. He's a journalist.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where like this is like kind of exciting, though, because like, I'm not going to say that news is more or less credible than it was before. But at the same time, like, allegedly, these things happened. Most of them, right? Like, we can't even say for sure that these things happened. But it was good enough to be published somewhere. So maybe there was some, you know, some, what do they call it? Like, maybe there was some, they have a word for it. Like, where they stretched the truth a little bit. Maybe they did a little bit. But at the same time, if these things happen, and let's just say yes, because why not, right? We're here.
Yeah.
These things happened, right? Well, for sure, some of them for sure happened, like the bombing and like the poor dude who died with a tiger, you know, and the guy and his son who had obviously, you know, some mental illness and dealing with some stuff that's messed up. But when you put them all together, do you or do you not get a curse?
I mean, it's just, this is one of those films, like, when you put it that way, especially, it's like, I don't know, man, I would lean more towards yes. Honestly, I lean more towards yes for this than I do for Poltergeist. And
okay, no, hold on. No, you can't just say that.
No, but I wasn't done.
Okay, good. Oh, that's a big one. That's because Poltergeist is like the staple curse.
So, and I haven't done, you know, all the research for that episode yet. I don't even know when we're going to do that episode. But just off the surface stuff that I've seen, just off the Cursed Films episode and, you know, articles that, you know, you've read over the years, it's like, again, the unfortunate thing is Heather O'Rourke, she died. She was, you know, the main little blonde. And then her sister from the first one, she was killed by her ex-boyfriend. Those two horrible tragedies, like, that would, you know, be my initial, like, oh my God, you know. And then you look at, you know, you start connecting other folks dying, you know, from cancer or being older. And it's like, well, okay, hold on. But, like,
but you know, at the same time, like, I don't know, like, when does Cursed Films Nickelodeon come out?
Hey, I mean,
because for me, it's just like,
did you watch Quiet on Set?
I mean, no, I have not, but I know I think about it's out. And that's my thing. Like, I didn't say it to be funny. I said it like, that's pretty cursed. But how do we take human experience and make it a curse? People died. She had a terrible boyfriend, and that's tragic. But how does that make it a curse? So I guess I'm kind of siding with you, because a lot of the deaths and stuff like that, like, it's human occurrence. Like, it's kind of luck of the draw. It's your time. It's your time, you know, like, whether you did a movie or not, it's your time. It's your time. And what makes this, for me, pushed pretty high up there in the actually curse realm is that, again, in my mentality, it felt like something was trying to get these people because there's so many similar or constant things that related to the movie that happened to be like the poor lady who died because her head got chopped off, the decapitation, you know, the animal trainer that trained the animals to be scared of the kid ended up having to be scared of an animal, you know, himself. Like, it's kind of ironic, you know, even though you could see it that way, you can see it. No, he's an animal trainer. So obviously this is what happens, right? The lightning on the planes, when you add them all together, no one thing really, really feels like a curse to me, except for John Richardson's crash, where it like was almost mirror image. Decapitate someone in the movie. His woman got decapitated. So that one feels weird. That one feels weird.
Yeah.
But besides that one, no one other thing really feels like that. But when you put them all together, it's almost like something was out to get them.
So, and that's what I mean with this, because all these things happen kind of so close together as well. It's like I said, so many things happen to so many people because of one thing. It's like, okay, maybe. But, you know, and just back to the Poltergeist thing one more time, the thing there, the reason why I say I feel this is more than that is because, like you said, the unfortunate thing is, you know, with the young lady, I feel terrible that I don't remember her name right now, but her ex-boyfriend killed her. That's horrible. And even still, you could say, oh my God, you know, curse. You know, that's the beginning steps of it. Heather O'Rourke, unfortunately, the doctors misdiagnosed her condition. You know, that's
right.
Just, you know, not, but again, not a curse. That's
a condition. Just your prefacing with a condition. So again, I feel you. I get you. This does seem like,
you know, the other actors who pass away, you know, as they're older and they, you know, cancer kicks in, it's like, you know, and you know, these are things that are, you know, it's like, okay, I don't, you know, I think those are going to be things that were going to happen whether they did this film or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
yeah. Murdered as far by as, death situation.
Yeah. Now, as far as the stuff with the Omen, I mean, it's like, okay, you know, if, you know, maybe these folks wouldn't have been on these planes to go where they're going if they weren't doing this film. Maybe. You know, maybe, you know, they're not in London of, you know, where the bombing's happening. You know, maybe, you know, the one lady isn't in a position where she's going to get decapitated, similar to, you know, what happened in the film. You know, maybe the trainer, you know, the guy worked with the Rottweilers, you know,
maybe
he's not, you know, but because they do all these things and they all kind of come together.
Yeah. You we're know. Like seven,
but
maybes,
like you said,
we're seven maybes into it. And the fact that there's like six, seven, eight, ten maybes into it, that's what kind of pushes me over the edge on this film, or this curse, rather, I should say, right? Like, I think that's, to me, that's what sells me on the idea that maybe there was some kind of curse. Again, I'm not going to say yes, and I'm definitely not going to say no. I'm definitely not going to say no, where I feel like I easily said no while listening to, you know, the Twilight Zone one, right? Like, I easily said no there in my mind, right? Oh, yeah, as I'm listening and talking to you on my drive to work. I was like, Dante, no, that's wrong, well, man.
And I'm pretty sure I said no too.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah, no, you did. You did. You know, like, but like, I'm like, you know, so I'm over here like the third character, not even part of the podcast. And I'm like, no, guys, come on, man. Like, that obviously that's terrible. And you know, like, but this one, I mean, I would be lying to you if I didn't feel like coming into it, I felt more skeptical than accepting of the idea of a curse. But as I did my research, I felt like, yeah, man, I can't, you know, again, I might be repeating myself, but I can't get past the idea that if it was me and all these things, all these maybes, the 10, 15, 7, 8, whatever maybes that we can talk about, I would feel pretty cursed, like something's about to get me. And if I did this movie, I'd be considering like, man, hope nothing happens to me. And in thinking that way, I have to be open to the idea that there is a curse, because I would think that.
I agree. I mean, I'm with you. I'm not saying no to it. I'm not saying yes to it. There's a possibility for sure. But there's also such a thing as coincidence. We're coincidence. Because like we said, the bombings were happening. Planes get struck by lightning. Your all animal time. Trainer. You know, these are things. You know, but, you know, on the flip side of it, too, if they weren't doing the movie, perhaps they're not in those positions. Ooh. You know, those planes are going to still get struck by lightning.
Right.
You know, the bombings were still happening. The restaurant was going to still get bombed. The hotel still got bombed. It's just that because they're doing the movie, they were moved into those positions for those things to have some effect to some degree. I mean, they're also moved out of position because, again, the bombings at the hotel and the restaurant, it just by happenstance, they, you know, was overbooked or, you know, they didn't make it, whatever it may be. But, you know, it's still, you know, there's still this thing. And like, you know, again, they could have been, you know, again, something going on, but maybe someone else was looking out for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, in my mind, if I'm going to play the card of like, they were lucky, not cursed. As a whole, they were fairly unlucky to keep having close calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think you get to a certain point, at least I would. It's like, if I keep having too many close calls, I'm not even thinking myself as lucky anymore.
No, you're like, hey.
Like, what the fuck?
I'm not lucky. I'm destined for something like this. Yeah. I'm next.
Yeah,
like, I'm not lucky. I'm next.
Final Destination is a thing. I've seen the movie. I've seen all their movies. Ooh. And that is a thing. If I keep narrowly avoiding death, I need to start looking at, okay, what the fuck is going on? Who the fuck am I hanging around? Who's next? And so, how, like, do I jump the order?
So like the cast of The Omen had a real life Final Destination vibe because they're like, oh, all these things are happening to everyone around me. Am I next? Is it coming for me?
Dude, I just, oh my God. So Final Destination 6, I believe, is filming now.
I
feel like there's an opportunity being missed right here where they could be doing Final Destination 6 or let's say 7. Let's say I'll contact my people and
make it happen.
And basically it's them filming a movie and it's this shit right here. And they're narrowly avoiding shit.
Go real meta with it and like they're filming a movie about what happened to the kids from part 1.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Oh my God. Hey, if you're listening, I don't even want the credit. I just want to see it.
Yeah, just make it happen. I don't give a fuck about credit. I just want to see the shit happen. Like, once it happens, I will say, hey, like, go listen to episode 57. So you're like, horror. We talk about that motherfucker. I'm not editing that shit out. But, like, do that shit. But yeah, I think, you know, as it all unfolds, you know, we look at it, it's like, it sucks, you know, for those who did get drastically affected by it. And, you know, for the folks that were involved, again, you know, it's like, could they be looking at it like, you know, again, we're blessed that we made it out. You know, we're in a bad spot,
right?
Or we could have been in a worse spot and we, you know, someone was looking out for us, or is it a matter of, you know, they don't even think about it. They're just like, today's Tuesday.
I'll tell you right now, John and that handler, they weren't feeling blessed at the end of it.
No.
John, who lost his fiance, and the handler who's passed away. You know, like, I'm sure for them, that curse is real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, are they thinking of it as a curse, though? You know, or are they just thinking, again, fucking, you know, fucking terrible, terrible tragedy.
No, you're right. You're right. At some point, especially a tragedy the way those were, there's always that flip side. Like, I do think that there is a scapegoat side to it where it was a curse and it's easier to accept. Right. But like, we don't know. Was he drinking? Was he driving too fast? Like, I don't know. That's to him in the world. Right. Like, maybe it was just a bad conditions. You know, maybe it's a mechanical problem. I don't know the details of the car accident that took his fiance's life, you know, but I do know that it's almost clearly he probably hates the idea of a curse, or he fully believes it.
Yeah, you got to imagine it's one or the other. It's like either you're all in on one end or the other. There's no like in between. It's like, God, I hate everybody who keeps calling this shit a curse. It's not a fucking curse. Quit making light of it. Or he's like, man, like, you know, fuck Richard Donner. You know, it's all this fucking guy's fault for fucking going ahead and making a stupid fucking movie. You should have just stuck to fucking Superman, you know. There is a curse of Superman. Like, now that I think about it, so I don't know. Maybe it's Richard Donner.
Maybe it's Richard, because Superman wasn't exactly great for everybody who filmed it.
Yeah, like there's some major tragedies to that. You know, I think they knew Richard Donner was going to be making that shit later, and they're like, you know what, just taint this shit from the beginning. So we don't know. No one knows. But look, Manuel, I love when you're on the show, man. It's like sometimes I forget that we're recorded. We're just sitting here like just fucking talking shit. That's why I had to keep looking at my notes. It was like, are we just talking shit here, or like, oh shit, I got notes. Let me look at these motherfuckers real quick, because otherwise I'll go off script and say some shit that ain't supposed to be said on air.
Like, right? No. I like it too. I had my little bits and pieces, and you also shared with me kind of like what you felt like the. You noticed about it, right? And I'm like, okay, I got what you said, I got what I said, and like, I want to go off on a tangent about these things, you know, like, because I think that's what's fun. It's fun to be like, you know, real about the moment that we're talking about it, because I don't want to be so robotic that like it's weird, you know. But at the same time, it's good to keep me in a direction, you know, because I'll go off.
Yeah, we've had our episodes where we've gone on tangents where it's like, okay, so how do we reel them back in? Well, you just let them go.
So the thing about double biopsies that relates to jujitsu is,
I mean, that's one of the things that I, like I said, I enjoy having you on here, is that the conversations are genuine. It's not robotic. It's not scripted, you know. And you speak from the heart. So it's like, you know, when you're like, look, man, like, I don't fully believe it's a curse. It's like, okay, keep going. Give me more. Cause like sometimes you'll push people on that and they don't have an answer. Like I did that recently on an episode. I won't say who, but I questioned the guests on air when they said, so I was like, oh, okay. Like what? And they're like, ooh, they weren't ready for that. So, you know, when it's coming from the heart, when you push people on that, they're like, bitch, I'll tell you why I feel this way.
I'll tell you why. I
love it. So thank you for that. We're gonna go ahead and wrap up here because like I feel like with what we got going on with this film, we're both kind of in agreement.
Yeah, and, like, and I'm gonna say one thing. Yeah. I hope that this episode makes you want to watch The Omen. And
yes,
if you haven't seen it, or if you've already seen it, go watch more, go learn more about the curse, and then watch it again and see if it changes how you feel about watching it. Like, because like we said, like you start thinking about, were they thinking about this? You know, so just give it a shot. Give it a shot. Watch it again. Yep. Or watch it the first time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As always, folks, thank you. If y'all got any questions, concerns, or criticisms, please feel free to reach out. You can always reach me at So You Like Horror on Instagram. All the words are separated by underscores. Or you can email me at soyoulikehorror@gmail.com. I respond. You know, I'm a nice guy. I like, even if you say something sucks, I want to know that. I need to know. So let me know, you know, if it's good, if it's bad. Let me know what you think. And if you want to be a guest, let me know. You know, we got, you know, some movie reviews coming up pretty soon for Older Gods. So I believe I'm supposed to sit with the director of the movie as well. So we're just trying to work out times, because I believe he's in England, they said. So we're trying to sort out the time and the day properly, because they want to do weekday. And I'm like, maybe if you're up for being up late. So but yeah, if y'all got some movies y'all want to get reviewed, send them my way. You know, we're like Marilyn Phil be on it with us, Joe KW, you know, and we're fair about it. We're not gonna be dicks. We're gonna let you know how we truly feel. I might be more like, you know what? There's a lot of good here, even though it was shitty. I'm gonna still find the good. Phil might rip you a new asshole. But and then, you know, Joe, he's Joe. He will let you know how he feels. But either way, reach out to us. And as always, Manuel, Manny Fresh, thank you for doing this, my friend. I love having you on. I miss talking with you, man. We got to get you over there on Off the Mats. And we're going to be getting back together for the Conjuring stuff pretty soon. Oh, yeah. So,
I'm excited for that. So,
dude, I got a couple other things I got to do some research on, but I'm like, I'm trying to keep myself from jumping ahead.
Right.
But it's like, okay, just be cool and sit back. We will get there. But yeah, thank you for doing this, man. Thank you. Especially on short notice. So I appreciate the fuck out of you for that. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, man. It's always a pleasure. Like you're one of my favorite people to talk to. So yeah, whenever you need me, man, I'm happy to be on it. And sometimes we just call each other in general, just to do this without recording.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever I get a call from you, I'm like, it's one of those things where it's like, I look at, okay, where am I driving right now? And, or am I like, you know, it's like, I got to look at my time frame, because when you and I get on the phone, it could be anything from a 5 minute, like just check in on like, hey, I got a real quick question. Or it could be a, yo, let's catch up on this one real quick thing that turns into a 2.5 hour conversation that I eventually say, we should have just did a podcast.
Right.
Like we should have recorded that. But either way, man, I love you, man. Thank you for doing this. And all the folks listening, thank you. I love you all to death. This show ain't nothing without y'all. So thank you. You guys just keep listening, and we're going to definitely keep making these shows for sure. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
I think that's good for now.
The end.